Hi, everyone. I know that one of the reasons that this place was chosen, there were a few locations, I know that one of the reasons this was chosen is that behind you is the desert. And one of the most beautiful things, there are many beautiful things about the desert, but one of the most beautiful things about the desert is how quiet it is, how silent the desert is. The women should
speak a lot.
The women should speak a lot. It's in the merit of the women that the Geula comes. And it's an interesting thing because the Midbar, the desert, as you're pointing out, the Midbar, the desert, comes from a language of Midaber. Right? Midbar and Midaber, to speak, are the same words. And sometimes the loudest sounds can come out when you're in a midbar, when everything else is silent, there's no cars, there's no buses, thank God, finally, there's no traffic. Even the Kotel, I work in the Old City. And in the Old City, when I go to occasionally daven by the Kotel, it's very hard for me, I'll be honest. I know the Kotel is like the most magnificent place in the whole world, but the Kotel is so loud and there's so many people and especially when you have ADHD. I'm just, yeah. But when you go to the Midbar, you go to the desert, and the desert is a place where it's so quiet that all of a sudden, a lot of the sounds that you were blocking out because they're uncomfortable or because they were too good. You didn't let yourself have that voice come out because I don't deserve to feel that sound come out of me. You know, I don't have that. I don't deserve to feel that way. So you repress it. It could be also the opposite. It could be that there's lots of stuff I don't want to deal with and I repress it. But you come to the desert and it's quiet and all of that medaber, all of that speaking starts to happen. And I want to start actually before saying any more words with something to quiet us down and to share with you that sometimes the inaudible or the nonverbal sounds of the desert or of a person yearning for something in a very deep way can actually produce the most beautiful and profound and deep sounds and feelings. So a very brief story and then a song. I'm blessed to have been, I don't like to call it teaching. I don't like to, it's a little too much calling it teaching. So I learn Torah in public for a living. That's what I do. And I have the good fortune of having many friends who I've learned Torah with in public over the years, some younger than me, some older than me. It means teaching. It means I teach. But I have, not everybody that I've come into contact with over the years, both when I taught in the United States and since my wife and I moved here, the ability to share Torah with people here. So not everybody lives here in Israel. And some of those people, I'm so close with them, and I want to be near them, that I try to focus one at a time on these individuals and slowly to try to invite them to come here. I'm not the type who puts the pressure on, everyone has to move here. There are some people like that. I don't feel like I deserve to live here, so I can't, It's more the feeling of, it would be really fun for you if you could somehow figure out how to do it, but there's no pressure. I don't deserve to take one more breath in this country. And so I have a student, his name is Shimi, and he now lives here. But about 2-3 years ago, he didn't live here. And I called him one Erev Shabbos, and I just said, Shimi, I want to tell you that I'm sitting here in Yerushalayim, that's where I live, and I'm thinking about you. That was it. Motzei Shabbos, I turned on my phone. It was Parshas Noach, that Shabbos. And I turned on my phone, and I got a message just as short as the one I left, where Shimi started his message with a sigh. The sigh was like, I'm not even going to try to do it. It was like a sigh from the 6 days of creation, you know, from like from Hashem creating the world before he rested on Shabbos. It was that kind of a sigh. And then he said, how I wish that I could be there with you. That's all he said. That's it. That was the whole message. So I turned to my daughter, she's now 12, so she must have been about 9, 10 years old. I turned to her, I said, can you go get Abba's guitar? Okay, so she went to get my guitar. I didn't even want to get up from like the place where I was sitting. She gave me the guitar, and from that, it wasn't from the words, I wish I could be there, it was just the sigh. The sigh that Shimi left for me as a message on Motzei Shabbos, the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, that moment of Parshas Lech Lecha, I can't really explain to you what I'm trying to say here, but I took that sigh and I stuck it into, you know, whatever chip, you know, in the guitar. And this is the song that came out. So I always say this is Shimi's song. This is not my song. This is Shimi's song. Shimi's sigh became this song. And I want to share this song with you because this is the song that when a person comes to the desert, they begin to hear this song. And I'll say one more thing and then I'll play the song. You know, everyone always asks, what did Avram Avinu, what did Avraham do that he was worthy of receiving the words from Hashem, Lech Lecha? Go for yourself on this journey, which you're all starting on this amazing journey together. Go for yourself on this journey, and you'll see great things will come from it. How come Avram was chosen? So we have all the Midrashim that talk about the different things that Avram Avinu did to be worthy of such a thing. But the deepest answer of all is that it wasn't something that Avram did that he deserved to hear those sounds of Lech Lecha. Hashem is saying Lech Lecha from the time that Adam Arishon was created. Adam and Chava and everybody that came before, and Noach and Amma, his wife, everybody, the Lech Lecha, Hashem was screaming Lech Lecha to the whole world. And it was only Avram Avinu who was willing to go into that place of the desert of his own, just quieting his mind for a moment, that finally the Diburim, the words of Lech Lecha that Hashem was saying from the very beginning, from the moment that he started creating the world, those words of Lech Lecha all of a sudden came bursting out, and he was able to hear them.
Lech lecha me'yartzecha mimoladetecha mibeis avicha lech lecha me'yartzecha mimoladetecha mibeis avicha El Aretz Asher Areka Ve'yei Bracha Ve'yei Bracha El Aretz Asher Areka Ve'yei Bracha Ve'yei bracha lech lecha me'yartzecha mimoladetecha mibeis avicha lech lecha me'yartzecha mimoladetecha Mi beis avicha el haaretz asher areka ve'yei bracha הארץ אשר אראך ויהי ברכה ויהי ברכה.
So we're not only in the desert, but we're also in Yericho. I mean, we're on the outskirts of Yericho. This whole area is called Mitzpeh Yericho, a place that looks down upon Yericho. And I know you went to Yerushalayim first, but it actually makes a lot of sense. There's a Mishnah in a Masechta called Masechet Tamid, Maseches Tamid. And the Mishnah says something which, on the surface, seems quite peculiar. And I wonder if we can make sense of it now here together. You know, you just came from Yerushalayim straight here to Yericho. The Mishnah has a list of 7, 8, 9, maybe 10 things that happened in Yerushalayim that somehow reverberated all the way to Yericho. I know it was an hour and a half to get here, but like it's supposed to be 25 minutes. But still, that's 25 minutes of driving. There's no way that Al Pi Teva, according to the natural laws of the universe, you would be able to have the things that happened in Yerushalayim reverberate here in Yericho. So for example, the Mishnah says that there was a certain crank that they used to, the kiur, which is how they, the Kohanim would wash their hands and feet. So it was this massive kiur. They would keep it underground at night so that the water wouldn't become tamei. And somebody developed a crank to crank up the, and it made a very loud sound. And the Mishnah says it was so loud that in Yerushalayim they would do the crank and they would hear it here in Yericho. And the door of the Sharnikanor, which was the door that opened up the Heichal, was so heavy and made such a loud, you know, when they opened it, you heard it all the way here in Yericho. And then, after listing 7, 8 of these very loud things, there's one thing that the Mishnah says at the end, that the Ketores, the smell, the beautiful smell of the Ketores in Yerushalayim, reached all the way to Yericho. There's this deep connection between Yerushalayim and Yericho, so much so the Gemara says sometimes the Gemara speaks in what's called a guzma, in an exaggeration, you know. There's not an exaggeration, so much so the Mishnah says that there was a certain shepherd who used to shepherd his sheep around here, and his goats used to sneeze from the smell, the sweet smell of the Ketores, that it used to make the goats sneeze. So that literally the smell would waft all the way here to Yericho. There's a deep connection between Yericho and Yerushalayim. Everybody knows that Yericho is the place where the Jewish people first came into Eretz Yisrael. And if this is a chizuk mission, and you just came from Yerushalayim to Yericho, we could add to the list, you know, the sounds that reached from Yerushalayim all the way to Yericho is the sounds of the bus, I'm sure, coming here, you know, on the way from Yerushalayim to Yericho. That sound came all the way here from Yerushalayim to Yericho. And if this is a chizuk mission, if that's what the goal here is, then I think it's so appropriate that on some level, the beginning, the first day, you're coming here to Yericho. I mean, think about, just for a second, you have to, that's what I was saying before, like I don't even deserve to breathe the air. Just think about for a second. You know, the Torah says that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to go daven 515 tefillot, 515 prayers to Hashem, that he should be zochah to step one foot here, where we're all sitting and standing and breathing and drinking water and eating dried strawberries or something, right? We're eating all the peiros of Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was looking with such yearning in his eyes to be able to breathe this air and to step on this soil. And you know what the Torah said? It's a crazy thing. And you know what's unbelievable? Listen to this, because this is really going to throw you for a... Listen to this. The Pasuk, when it talks about Moshe Rabbeinu standing up on a mountain, on Har Nevo, looking into Eretz Yisrael, it says it's in the Torah. It's not a Medrash, it's not a Rashi. The Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu was standing on Har Nevo, which is one of the mountains of the plains of Moab, which you could probably see from here somewhere, and he was looking at Yericho. That's what he said. He was looking at the place where we're sitting right now. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, I would love to be sitting here with all of these ladies, breathing the air of Eretz Yisrael, trying to draw chizuk 2,000, 3,000 years after Moshe Rabbeinu was looking. 3,000 years later, we're still sitting here and we're still dreaming of Eretz Yisrael. Every single person took out of their busy schedule, out of whatever is going on in their life, to come and to sit here in first Yerushalayim and now to sit in Yericho. It's unbelievable. And here is, maybe, and then I'll play another song. Here is to the degree that a person of my small stature could bless the women who are literally bringing the gula. By bringing yourselves here and being Moser Nefesh to come to Eretz Yisrael in this way, at this time, knowing full well that your flight could have been canceled, just like the men's flight was canceled, knowing full well it was. And still, v'afal pikin, v'afal pikin. So here is, to the degree that someone like me could give a bracha to people like you, I want to say that you know what happened by Yericho the first time. The walls came tumbling down, but here's the thing. I'm sure, we were talking before, I'm sure, because I've been a human being for, I'm 41 years old, I've been a human being for 41 years, so I know for sure, because you're also human, that there are walls that are between you and Hashem, and between you and people that you love, and you and each other. Maybe some of you don't know each other, I don't know, there are always walls. And the lesson that we can learn from Yericho is that not all walls need to be crumbled and broken with force, with heavy force. And so the bracha, to the degree that I could give a bracha, that I would like to share with you, is that I hope that whatever this trip brings you, both this and whatever comes over the next few days, it should all be so smooth. It should just, the walls should just crumble down in front of you. Whatever activity you're doing, whether it's drinking wine overlooking the desert, or whether it's sitting in a shir with text, whatever it is, it should be so gentle, without force. It should be without having to take a hammer to the wall and crack. It should just dissolve in front of you, because if you're walking around, you know, we're in the Sfiras HaOmer now, we're doing the seven weeks of the Sfiras HaOmer. You know, they walked around the wall 7 times, and it came down, just came down. With the easiest thing, you're every day just counting, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, you're just counting, and with the ease of just counting and paying attention and trying to focus on the time that you're in, each day, hayom yom, today is the day. There's no other day. Forget about the past. Forget about whatever happened in the past. Forget about what's going to happen in the future. Just right now, can I live with the awareness that I'm trying to cultivate right now in this day? Hayom yom, today is the day. Hayom, that's what the words mean, hayom yom. And then whatever day it is in the count. So if I can live with that awareness of today is the day and I just have to be present for this hour, for this, then the walls come down by themselves. So I want to, I think one of the songs that led this group to each other is a song that apparently plays often in your home. I don't know, you shared with me before. So I wanna play a song. This is it's a doozy, this song. The truth is I hate to spoil it for you. I hope that this doesn't spoil it for you, but it's not my song. I sing the song. A number of years ago, my dear Rebbe and mentor, Rav Moshe Weinberger, was celebrating the 25th anniversary of his being the Rav of his shul, and a number of his Talmidim, including Rabbi Yaakov, and Yosef Karduner, and Shlomo Katz, and a number of all of us very dear friends and students of Rav Weinberger, put together an album of his favorite nigunim, of his favorite songs, from a particular composer by the name of Michael Shapiro. And I'll tell you something, the song that I was given was this song, even though I had my eyes on a different one. And believe me, 100%, has nothing to do with my performance of the song itself. When Rav Weinberger heard the song on the album, he said, I want to change the name of the album to the name of this song. It was supposed to be called something else before. He said, I want to change the name of it because this song that this person wrote, Michael Shapiro, is something else. Okay, so you're forewarned. Okay, I don't want to ruin anyone's mascara, I'm saying.
A master of the universe, I will sing a song to you. Where will I find you? Oh, but where do I not find you? Where I go, there you are. Where I stay, there you are too. Only you, you alone, you again. Only you, only you, only you, only you. Only you, you alone, you again. Only you, only you, only you, only you. Master of the universe, I will sing a song to you. Where will I find you? Oh, but where do I not find you? Where I go, oh, there you are. Where I stay, there you are too. Only you, you alone, you again. Only you, only you, only you, only you. Only you, you alone, you again. Only you, only you, only you, only you. Only you.
So we spoke about the desert and we spoke about Yericho. There's a teaching from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, you know, you could speak about all the places in the world and all the levels in the world of different, all the places in this world and other worlds up there, both in the cosmos floating around in outer space, but also in the higher spiritual world. You could speak about all that. And in fact, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch says that when you say Shema every day, so when you say Shema, you're supposed to have in mind, when you say the word Echad, when you get to that word Echad, you're supposed to really stop for a minute, and just while you're saying the word Echad, you're not just thinking Echad, you're one, but you're thinking you're Aleph Ches Dalet, which means you're one, Shem, you are one, over all eight levels of existence, the seven rakios, maybe you've heard of this before, the seven different levels of Shemayim, and the aretz, a total of eight. You are Hashem over all the different levels, the seven rakios, and the world. You are echad, aleph, over the ches levels of existence in all four directions, dalet. That's what, that's the Shulchan Aruch, that's not like the Zohar, that's the Shulchan Aruch. That's what you're supposed to think when you say Shema. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, you know, a person can do that meditation, you can do that exercise, and you could think, Hashem, you are one, and crowning you the king over all eight levels of existence in all four directions, here's what Yisrael Sponsor said. He said, but that's easier, saying Hashem is the king over all eight levels and in all four directions, instead of making Hashem king over what sits in the center of all that, which is you. Meaning, it's very easy to say, Hashem, you're the king all the way out there, every stretch to the right and to the left, and forward and backwards, and all the way up and all the way down. But that which is sitting right in the middle, which is us, which is me, which is you, it's much harder to crown Hashem as the king over me and you, over ourselves. To say that I want to make, I mean, it's a beautiful song, only you, only you, only you. But it's not only Hashem. There's a lot of busy things going on in our lives. And it's very easy to forget that when we're saying Shema, we're saying only you, only you, only you, Hashem. There's so many things. So I just want to speak for, I don't know, they're going to assume they're going to go like this to me, and then I'm going to be all. You know, a person who wants to make Hashem over them, to make Hashem a melech over them. There's a lot of different ways to do that. There are many different ways to do that. There are many different meditations. There are many different things. And so I want to just do one of them. It's not a meditation. We're not, I don't know if that happened earlier today. Did that happen yet? No. Okay. So, yeah. So, it's not a meditation. We're not, you know, we're Jews. We're not, you know, we're not Buddhists. But a meditation, meaning to say that we could focus for a minute on what it means to make Hashem melech over you. Very simple. You don't even have to, you can if you want. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to do one of these, like, you know, sit in a position or something. Not like that. It's very simple. To make Hashem melech over you, and not just over all the world out there. Very simple exercise. And you can do this every day. Before you start davening, I find this very helpful. Take a few deep breaths before davening, before you start to say Baruch Atah Hashem, before you say Hashem Sfasai Tiftach even. Maybe according to Allah, you should say Hashem Sfasai Tiftach first. That way you're in Shmon Esrei, Samech Gul, Tefillah. Then afterwards you could do this. And you can think the following. You could think, I want to make Hashem melech over me. Making Hashem melech over me means that the way that I make decisions in this world is that instead of starting from my gut, just sort of like going by what I feel, instead of going after what my gut tells me to do from the start, the gut is good. The gut is good. But starting from the place of the gut can be a little dangerous. You start from the gut, and then what happens is there's some visceral desire that the gut is saying, I want this. I want this thing. And it doesn't have to be a thing. I want to express this emotion. I want to express this anger, this frustration in a way which is, I know I shouldn't. So that comes from here. And then what happens is, and it all happens in a split second. What happens is you start from the stomach, and then you move up to your heart, and your heart gets all excited about it, the emotions. So the first thing is like this very, you know, it comes from deep within you. It's not even an emotion. It's like it's a deep, visceral desire. That's the only way to, and then it goes to your heart, and you get excited about it, you see? Yes, I'm going to do this. And then, oftentimes what happens is then it comes out of your mouth first, or you know, or into your mouth first, or whatever, you know, whatever the, and then after that, you feel a little bad about it, and what do? Then you move from your stomach up to your heart, and then up to your head. What happens with your head? Then afterwards, you start making all these different rationalizations about how it was so bad, and not so, you know, and you use what you want down here to then affect how excited you get about it over here, and then you allow it to be processed in your head after the fact, and you sort of like say, it's okay, and I make a rationalization, and then I make it into a system. I systematize it, and I do it every day. And I give into that way of thinking and that way of acting. So listen, this is unbelievable. This is from the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov said that every day a person has to make Hashem king over them, over themselves. And the way you do that is very simple. Okay, I want everyone to do this together right now. You don't have to close your eyes. You can do it. You all have imaginations. You all have the ability to do this. I want you to, with your eyes open or closed, doesn't matter, because we can all do this. We've all spent enough time, present company included, you know, in front of a a screen or a picture, you know, a mirror or something. We know what we look like. Everybody knows what we look like. Picture yourself for a second. Picture yourself in your own head. And now I want you, as you're picturing yourself, you have, of course, you have your head, and you have your heart, and you have your gut, your stomach. I want you to picture yourself, you're standing there. And the Baal Shem Tov said, you know what it means to make Hashem a melech over you? Nusa, everybody help me here. What's this? What's in here, hopefully? You know, what's in here?
Brain.
Your brain. And how do you say that in moach? And what about your heart? How do you say that in Hebrew?
Lev.
And how do you say stomach? Okay, so either kaved or keres, the stomach or the liver is really what you're looking for over there. The liver is over there. So you have your moach, your lev, and your kaved. So what I want everybody to do is to just, for a moment, to picture yourself and just picture yourself and in a way of almost tefillah, imagine yourself and how different the world would be if you lived in a way where you started with your moach, with your first principles, through the Torah that you're going to study here and that you occasionally get to listen to a shir, you know, while you're driving, or the Torah in your life. We're counting towards Matan Torah. The Torah in our life that goes into our mind and that we decide, I want to live my life based on what I know to be correct in my mind. That's the first thing. And I'm going to allow what I know to be correct in my mind, in my moach, to affect and to get me excited in my lev. Because it's not always so easy to go from here to here. In fact, that's maybe the biggest distance of all. But I'm going to declare Hashem, or maybe as a tefillah, Hashem, I don't just want you to be the king out there somewhere. I want to make you the melech over me. And to make you melech over me means that I beg you to please let me live in a way where I fill my head with your Torah, my moach, then it affects my lev. I get excited about living that way. I can imagine what my life would look like if I lived according to those principles, to the point that I hope, and I'm trying, it's very hard to get there, but this is the meditation, to the point that it then affects my gut so much that my instinct is to do the right thing. I go from my moach to my lev to my kaved, and I make a melech over me. I make Hashem the king over me. Hashem, I want you to teach me. Like David HaMelech said, Todi'eini derech chayim. Teach me the way of life, which is the way of going from moach to lev to kaved. Teach me the proper way of life, which is, that's why it's called David HaMelech. David HaMelech is the one who said, Hashem, teach me the path of life, which teaches me to work from first principles, to get excited about that, and then to make that my instinct, my second nature. And so that's what we're excited, that's what we're counting up to. That's the whole experience of counting up to Har Sinai, is saying that until the moment comes that I am able to accept the Torah again on Shavuos, which is a little bit, you're getting a head start here. You know, there's a Kabbalah Satorah that's happening over the next few days here. There's many things in the world that need chizuk. One of them is a person's passion for Torah. This is not a tell-all, you know, but everybody knows that it's hard when you're busy with life and you have a few minutes to unwind. So it's not always a shir that's the first thing that you go to. It's not the first thing that I go to. A busy day of running around and doing whatever, it's not always the first thing. Sitting in the car, you know, music, which is great, especially if it's psukim usually, you know, music or a podcast. But to say once again, Hashem, I want to make you melech over me, means I'm looking for chizuk in this realm of this chizuk mission. A chizuk mission means the first thing of chizuk is I want to live from the head down. I don't want to live anymore from the bottom up. I want to live from the head down. And that means I want to make you a melech over me, Hashem. So,
how do you start?
The sincerest answer of how do you start is by doing this 10-second exercise every day. If you're so fortunate to be able to daven Shmona Esrei, I would say do it before Shmona Esrei. But to really do it, it's not just like a cute idea, you know, like, to really every day, start by, when you're about to daven, to pause before you open your mouth and say the words that you're going to say, to stop and say, Hashem, my goal here is to live from the top down. Now, You teach me how to do that through tefillah. I don't make guarantees about anything, but I guarantee that if you do that every day and you make Hashem your melech and you say, Hashem, help me to make you melech over me, and you do that meditation, picture yourself, it's about from the Baal Shem Tov, picture yourself, moach, leiv, kavir, you'll find yourself reaching for the Torah shir or the ability to schlep yourself out to go to the shir that the Rebbe Tzin is giving, whatever, you know, you'll find the way, you'll find the energy. That is the first step. There's a second step and a third step and a fourth step, but that's the first step. And we should begin with that. I was given the 10-minute warning. I want to play another song. So, since we're also, I mentioned before, you know, a little bit tell-all here. So, about 6-7 years ago, it keeps getting further away, which is quite remarkable, but I have made it a practice that whenever I have the opportunity to address a crowd, more than 10 people, I try to make it my business to thank Hashem publicly. So about 6-7 years ago, I was diagnosed with T-cell lymphoma. It's a type of blood cancer. And Baruch Rofei Cholim, blessed is the healer of all flesh, my wife and I found ourselves on shlichut, you know, back to America. The medical care here is unbelievable, but we didn't have any family here at the time. Now, Baruch Hashem, we have more family here. We didn't have any family. My wife's family's not here. My family wasn't here. So we went back so that we could have a little support and our kids could have their cousins. And, you know, it was the right move, even though it was a hard decision to make. And I'll spare you all the details, but about a year and a half of treatment ended in a bone marrow transplant. And I don't mean to make light of serious things, but it wasn't as bad as people make it out to be, personally, you know? So that was my experience. My experience was, it was, and I know what I'm saying, there were people who had way worse. It's not a guarantee that things have to be so, so, so difficult. Anyway, it was a year and a half, and it ended in a bone marrow transplant, which was by far the most difficult part. And 18 days, basically, it was before Corona. There was a world before Corona, and I was in the hospital for 18 days where, like, I couldn't really interact with people. I didn't have any white blood cells, so I couldn't really be around people who have the sniffles or anything. So after 18 days, so the one thing that I had is I brought my guitar with me. I actually brought a keyboard also into the room. I had my own room with Baruch Hashem, and after I came, you know, it's not like I was awake during the bone marrow transplant, that's not it. But after I, like, you know, recovered enough that I could be full strength again, the first thing I wanted to do was to make sure, I know some of you are going to laugh at me or you're going to think this guy is a total dreamer, but the first thing I wanted to do is make sure that in no way was my ability to be mechadesh Torah and to be mechadesh nagunim affected by this bone marrow transplant. Now you'll say, where in the world did you get such an idea? Well, okay, you'll call me a mystic, or you just call me a fanciful thinker, but the Torah says, ki adam hu hanefesh. You know, your blood is the source of your vitality in some way. So, scientifically speaking, we understand what that means. You ever wake up in the middle of the night and your arm is like, because you slept on it, right? Because there's no blood going to your... Adam hu hanefesh means your ability to move is based on the blood. On a certain deeper level, it means that there's something that's housed inside of you about your blood. So I wanted to make sure that I was still able to write songs and to be mechadesh. So I picked up my guitar to make sure that I could do it. And for the first time, I wrote a song. Not only, it's true, I did have a bone marrow transplant, but it was the first time that I actually picked up a guitar and I was able to write a song in Lashon HaKodesh in Hebrew, without having to, like, rely on psukim. Meaning I was relying on my knowledge of psukim and Torah in general. It's a Torah song. But without having to just, you know, sing a song that was just using psukim from the Torah or from Tanakh. So I had an upgrade, a double upgrade. Who knows? Take it with a grain of salt. But this is the first song that I wrote. And it's about what I was saying before, hayom yom. If we can only live today, hayom, in the best way, not in the way that people live, like just live for today and like don't think about, you know, not like that. Live for today, meaning it's hard to make a shemelech over you even for one day, let alone to do this every day. One day at a time. I want to play the song, and then after this, I think dinner is waiting for you. But I hope this won't be the last time that we get to learn Torah in public together. And the words, the chorus actually is a pasuk. The chorus is Hayom in the kolo tishma'u. Today, if you listen to Hashem's voice. And our tzaddikim teach us that that's not just a statement of like, the geula, that's what the pasuk is saying. The geula will come, Hayom in the kolo tishma'u, today, if you listen to Hashem's voice. If we would listen to Hashem's voice, if we would live from the moach down, so then the geula would be here already. We'd be living with geula. So that's true, but it's also a piece of advice that tzaddikim say, that it means if you want to be able to live the way that you want to live, so then live hayom. Live hayom yom, just today, and tomorrow you can work on tomorrow. So this is the song.
Amarti machorat chil ve'et mo oto davar hashon kimo adon yesh lo ratzon v'derech mishalom hashemesh hu midbayesh v'ani sovel mekovei Amarti machor el mag et palel mitoch sidor bo nipagesh biyachad machor chofshi lehitadken hanisayon hazeh hu kaved v'ani margish midai lochei Hayomim bekolo tishmeu Hayomim bekolo tishmeu Hayomim bekolo tishmeu Ha Hayom im tishlo Amarti machor egmar Et lameir lo lichos Leif tahor barali, yule leif tahor tzarich lachzor. Lama lidchof lemachar, efshar latchil meyom hayom. Hayom im bekolo tishmeu. Hayom im bekolo. Hayom im bekolo tishmeu hayom hayom im tishmeu.
Thank you all very much. This was a delight to spend some time with you. And now I believe I hand it over. Dinner is served.